This is the Morning Mayhem with Howard Feltman and the team. The best start to your day.
William Bird is the Director of Media Monitoring in Africa. What's your favorite sandwich? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think a good chicken mayo is always a good bet.
It is, hey. It's safe.
You get cheese and tomato. Simple cheese and tomato.
Okay. So without knowing you, I know you. You go for the simple quality things in life. Is that right?
Well, I'd like to think so, but I'm not sure.
Either way, good morning to you. Give us a sense of how the media has done in terms of the reporting and covering of this election.
So I think like everyone else, they were all a bit, caught a bit off guard by the fact that we thought that the elections would probably be delayed until next year. And then suddenly the Constitutional Court said, no, actually, they must go ahead. And everyone was like, oh, goodness, we need to scramble. And to that extent, like the political parties, everyone was scrambling. The media coverage kind of only really started to have a significant uptick in the last 2 to 3 weeks, as opposed to normally you see a good 2 month, at least, 8, 10, 12 week kind of lead into the elections, and this time it was a lot steeper. That said, I think that in the last week particularly, we've seen concerted efforts to look at issues around particular communities, to go in and look at what the kind of real issues are within local government. Far too frequently, they kind of treat them as almost as national elections, and you can forgive them for that because, of course, the big parties roll out their big leaders. You know, it wasn't the local ward councillors running around in many of these instances. It was the leaders of the parties going around, and so that makes it difficult to then focus on the local kind of issues when you've got the big cheeses walking around and smiling and shaking hands and all those kinds of things. So I think some of those things were really good that our media did to try and make those efforts. We saw some nice efforts to use data and try and unpack what was happening in different wards and different communities and help people make a bit more informed decisions. So there has been some imagination despite it being a completely crazy year in South Africa.
There's been a lot of concern, and certainly it's something that I feel to some extent that we see different, almost like a trend, and we see a lot of DA bashing on maybe mainstream media. We see EFF very dominant on social media. It doesn't always reflect on the polls. In fact, very often it doesn't. But do you think that we all get caught up, and by saying we, I'm including media in that, get caught up in these trends of what is popular at the time?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, what we found consistently, having done this since 1994, is that the media tend to follow the political party's agenda and not so much their own, in the sense of it's not like this, okay, we're going to look at these and these issues, and then they follow them. Rather, it's determined by the political parties. And because of that, you do tend to get, that kind of lay of the land. But in fairness to our media, and one of the most incredible achievements of our media consistently is that they are routinely fair. You know, like 96%, 97% of all the media coverage that our media give is fair. So despite it may seem on some level that some parties get better or more hateful coverage than others, on balance, that just isn't the case, actually, when you look at all of the evidence. The second point, I guess, is that when you look at those kind of graphs, you see that the ANC gets the majority of coverage around 42%, then the DA around 20%, and then you get the EFF coming in just below that. Historically, the EFF's been really excellent at manipulating the media agenda, so they've tended to get a lot more coverage than they actually have representation in Parliament, but the ANC, DA, you know, that shape of that mirrors broadly the representation in Parliament. This year, of course, you saw something quite different where you had Action SA, him and Mashaba's party, coming in. And what was really interesting about that is that actually, you know, it wasn't just all media bluster. He's actually seeming now performed and got, at least some fair results, certainly in Gauteng.
That's
so
amazing.
That's So that's quite impressive. So to that extent, it does kind of mirror where things are. The challenge, of course, for media is that there are 350 political parties. You know, how on earth are our media expected to give them all equitable coverage? The short answer is they aren't and they can't. So to the extent that they can, I think that they do a good job.
It was interesting because what we've tried to do here on the morning show and throughout the day is give everybody an invite, whoever really wanted to chat to us and try to at least get a sense and give our listeners a sense of who was out there. But there was one particular woman from a party that I in fact had never heard of. And we thought, you know, we didn't know who they were, but let's give them the time to and a platform. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, which is way longer than we normally give any interview because I couldn't actually get her to stop talking, she started accusing me of bias and stealing her time. Because she should have been on earlier on the show, and I was left completely baffled by it, because well, I thought okay, a bit of media training wouldn't have done her any harm. It's not the best policy to go into a show when somebody's really just and I really was fair. In fact, I agreed with a lot of what she was saying. I was quite interested in their in their manifesto, but it was so strange, and I thought, well, wow. Is that just what political parties are meant to say? Media's unfair. You're not giving us a fair break. Is that just standard protocol?
Yeah, I mean, usually if media are getting shouted at by different political parties, it probably means you're doing your job. You know, it means that they feel like they're not getting enough of their view across.
Right.
And so that isn't necessarily a bad thing. If you're getting moaned at for not being fair, in terms of not enough coverage or in terms of some of the critical coverage, and it's coming from all sides, that's probably a good thing. If it's only coming from one or two parties, then,
right, then something to worry about.
Hang on a minute, maybe we do have an issue here with party XYZ.
Does the media in general ask the right questions? I went through a stage, and I'm not even talking about elections, I was talking even before that, when I felt that what media was doing was being a spokesperson for government or for political parties, just reporting what they were saying, but not actually asking the questions and not probing the truth of those statements. And I sometimes read articles or read publications and become enormously frustrated. We don't necessarily need media to transcribe a statement by a politician.
Yeah, look, I mean, there are a number of factors that lead into that, but you're dead on. You know, very often media don't ask the right questions. They've got, this is like story number 4 of 8 that they still have to do in a day, and they tending to go for the easy thing, the thing that they know is going to get the headline, that's going to get them the story written quickly and productively, you know, and that's not necessarily saying, well, hang on a minute, in our area and of concern to our audience are these 1, 2, 3 issues. And so when they say this, I'm going to ignore that and I'm going to ask them for this and harass them for answers on those things. But of course that requires, you know, a far more clear, consistent approach. And many of the journalists out there at the moment just don't have the skills and they don't have the experience to do that. But, you know, the ones that are really good, you'll see it and you can tell by the questions that they ask. And you do have a number of really excellent kind of political journalists that do ask really difficult kind of questions, or they allow the political parties to kind of do the damage to themselves. I mean, there was, you know, some of the questioning around, you know, some of the ANC leaders recently over their disastrous performance have been particularly enlightening, not so much because of the questions posed by the journalists, in terms of, you know, being accusatory or anything like that, but more just about sort of leading them and allowing them to kind of walk themselves into their own kind of trap. And that's what I think a good journalist should do, is that then you allow your listener to go, oh, okay, that's interesting, yes, they clearly don't know what they're talking about, or this person clearly is, you know, clueless about what the causes are, etc.
And it's also, of course, worth remembering that it is, as far as I'm concerned, 2 parties in South Africa that have saved us from the level of corruption. And one is obviously the Constitutional Court, but the other is the media. Because without the media exposing some of the horrors that we've seen happening and that they have reported happening and that's come out because of how it's been reported, I'm not sure where we'd be.
Look, there's no doubt, you know, the reality is this, is you cannot have a democracy or democratic state without an independent, credible and diverse media. It's just that simple. You just can't have one. There's no country in the world where you have a democratic state and you don't have those, and you don't have a free, independent media. You know, you just, it doesn't happen. And what we've seen with the rise of social media is that now people can get to have access, that is, can get information on anything, on any subject, anywhere, all of the time. The problem with most of that is that you have no idea how credible it is. And so one of the key roles that media play now is not only to help filter that deluge of information and help people decide what's critical and what isn't, but it's also then to say, this is true. These facts are verifiable. These and these and these things we know to be the case. So that people actually rely on media, not so much now just to make an informed decision at the polls, but actually to know what's going on and what's real and what isn't. Because if you just go by what you see on your social media trends and stuff, you have no idea, you know, and those things are tailored to you so specifically that you'll begin to think that, oh my goodness, we are going to be invaded by a species of flying bananas. And then, and you'll be sitting there in your own little echo chamber thinking that, and you'll be, you know, too scared to go outside in case you get attacked by
Absolutely.
And yet, the reality is that that isn't the case, you know, overwhelmingly so. And you need media to be able to show you that these and these and these things are real and these and these and these things aren't. So, you know, the media, you know, with the IEC, critical institutions of democracy, we have to all be supporting each other. So when the IEC gets attacked, we have to say, if you've got evidence, lovely, bring it on. Let's go investigate, do whatever's necessary, hold whoever's needed to be held accountable, and let's get that dealt with. But we can't allow kind of baseless attacks on our judiciary, on our democratic systems, and equally on our media. And that's where our political parties routinely fall down. You know, so many of them, or so few of them, I should say, actually said anything positive about the role of the media. Yet they all go and they all want to triumph how great they are and how important these elections are. But without the media there, you don't have you can't have free, fair, credible elections.
Absolutely. I was just, this tweet popped up whilst you were talking and I thought that's just so funny. Carl Niehaus saying, this is the tipping point. It's too painful. The leadership of the ANC who led us into this disastrous election over the precipice into the valley of darkness must take responsibility and fall on their swords. It's got to be a very fun time to be media monitoring. I must.
Look, I mean, you know, Carl, there you go. You talk about people who believe in potentially being attacked by bananas.
Yeah,
I think that is one of them. You know, and the reality is that's why you need media to go and unpack it, that tweet and say, well, okay, let's just look at how we did get here. Who has been responsible for the consistent failure of delivery, the consistent failure of these systems, the consistent inaction on corruption, et cetera, et cetera? You know, and to what degree is it a problem of this particular leadership, and to what particular is it a problem of the leadership that came just before this?
Absolutely, absolutely right. William Bird, that's where we leave it. Director of Media Monitoring Africa. I absolutely loved chatting to you, and I hope we'll get to do that again. It is 7 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM.